The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And good morning, everybody, on this Wednesday, the 11th day of December 2019. Great to have you here. Let me toss out some questions to you, if I may, just some things to think about. Obviously, it'll be another day of impeachment nonsense, but keeping track of it is important so that you, in your head, you need to be a historian on the fly. You need to be a chronicler in real time so that you can tell your children and your grandchildren what these people did to our country. A political grudge impeachment, so that you can tell these folks what they have, so you can tell everybody what these folks have done. And this is no small matter. This is, and it's easy to say it's a trifling thing. It's a joke. The president had a big rally in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And it's funny, when you would think a president might be cowed into submission, might be laying low in the White House, might be a little subdued. Not this president. Out there calling this what it is, a joke, a sham. The people who have done this are fraudsters and hucksters, and they will wrap themselves in the precious paper of the Constitution while fouling the concept of impeachment. Are they technically going by the book? Well, sure. I mean, in a way that one might follow an instruction manual on how to, you know, put A to B to C to D. But it is the content of this impeachment. It is the empty basis for this impeachment that makes it such an offense to history. And history will not be kind to the people who have done this. They have no self-awareness in this regard. There is one particular Democrat mentioned in a story this morning, Karen Bass, Democrat of California. And is this doubling down, tripling down? What do you want to call this? She is all on board for impeachment in Trump's second term. If this one doesn't work, she says, and clue to Ms. Bass, it won't. They, and this is why this is important. This is not just one crazy rogue Democrat. They could very well do this, because once impeachment has been cheapened, once it has been defiled, once the die is cast for an impeachment that's nothing more than a political tantrum, what's to keep it from happening again? Impeachment up to now, the two that we've had and the third one that we almost had with Nixon, was for big stuff. And I know you can argue about Clinton. And I think we all knew in 1998 that impeachment was deserved and removal from office was probably not. You know, the Clinton years drove me as crazy as anybody. But are there presidents we've had that have done worse than lie under oath to a federal grand jury? There probably are. And I'd like the bar to be pretty high for presidential behavior. Impeachment is a sting. It is a taint. It is a black mark. It is a wound. Does that wound heal? And it sure did with Bill Clinton, who went on to become one of the most admired people in the Democrat Party in the last half century. So was he impeached? Yes. Did he deserve it? Yes. Did the system kind of work when he was not removed from office? Yes. And by the way, that'll be the case here. President Trump's chances of being removed from office are precisely zero. But at the front end of this impeachment, you know, Andrew Johnson's impeachment was valid. Richard Nixon's impeachment would have been And his removal also would have happened. That's why he resigned. Bill Clinton's impeachment was valid. You can't have presidents lying to federal grand juries under oath in an attempt to fix a civil rights lawsuit, the Paula Jones case. This impeachment is a scam. It is a tantrum. To even be in the midst of this is a terrible, terrible time in our history. So we can kind of laugh at it and point and mock, and oh, I will, and we can watch the wheels turn, and if the House does indeed send this to the Senate, that's one of the questions I have. In view of how ridiculous this is, in view of how baseless this is, there are a lot of ways the Senate can handle this, and in fact, there's sort of a Trump versus McConnell idea of how the impeachment ought to go. I think there's merit to both of these, so I'm going to ask you, 866-660-5759. And then we got to talk about the Stars coach, who was fired at the end of yesterday's show, and 14 topics come out of that, because we still don't know why. Should we? Is it our business? The answer is some, in a way, no, and in some ways, yes. I'll get to that here in a second. 866-660-5759. There are two ways to have the Senate impeachment trial make a statement that needs to be made. One is to open up a rodeo for the ages. We're going to subpoena Hunter Biden. We're going to subpoena Adam Schiff. We're going to subpoena that infernal whistleblower. We're going to this trial may go till next Christmas. You wanted a trial. We're going to give you a trial. Be careful what you wish for, Democrats, because this rodeo is on. Get ready. Strap in. Get your popcorn. You want a trial. Here it comes. Here it comes, and we're going to make it your worst nightmare. That's method number one. Kind of just enjoyed describing that. Yeah, I think Mitch McConnell and may have the following idea. The gavel falls. The House impeachment prosecutors, remember, in 1998, we went through this. Revisit the Clinton impeachment. There's an old video of this. It is like a trial. The Senate is the jury. The House brings the case, would obviously be all Democrats, kind of like the entire impeachment thing is. And the Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, this time would preside. So here's the McConnell idea. Keep that first idea in mind. It really goes on a long time. And oh, my gosh, you know, we're subpoenaing people. They either show up or they don't. But we win either way. Blah, blah, blah. It's long. It's crazy. It's bad, you know, you want a trial, we'll give you a trial. Here's method number two. The House lays out its case. The president's side offers a rebuttal. That's it. Let's vote. We're done. Good enough. Let's go. Let's vote. Oh, acquitted. Bye. Let's get back to work. An impeachment trial lasting maybe a day or two, and we're done here with this nonsense. You know, I kind of go back and forth because honestly, there may be just describing it to you might be leaning toward B, the short one, because that's what it deserves. It's so stupid and silly. Here's why. Because the notion of having a big long one where we're subpoenaing people right, left, up and down, we'll show them, riggy, 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 riggy. Yeah, that's what we'd like to have happen, but are there ways for that to go wrong? Yeah. Is it possible that there could be fatigue and inattention? Is that really just kind of for us? Would a bunch of people watch that and go, oh, we've been so wrong? Probably not. That would be kind of a self-congratulatory, self-indulgent TV show for us. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I don't totally know how that would go. I feel like it could be awesome, but it could get boring. We could overreach. It could get weird. But I'll tell you what, if we take a look at this thing and give this impeachment the time that it deserves, which is about 15 minutes, if that, Okay, House makes its case. Thank you very much. Here's the president's response. Thank you very much. Let's vote. Wow, he's acquitted. Bye. Let's get back to work. Man, that's just kind of energizing. I know how that would go. We'd be done, and we'd be done in a heartbeat. And this entire thing could start to fade into the tapestry of American history, and history could start to judge these people for what they've done to us. Okay, Stars Coach. End of yesterday's show. Rhonda is in my intercom ear. Stars Coach just got fired. And, of course, I hear Coach just got fired. I think maybe I heard wrong. Maybe she mispronounced Jason Garrett. Of course, as I've told you, I expect Garrett to be the coach of the Cowboys until Jerry dies. I expected Jim Montgomery to be coach this year because the Stars had made an amazing, amazing turnaround. But he's gone. And we still don't know why. Well, what the Stars told us was, it was unprofessional conduct. What the heck does that mean? And they're not talking. They're not saying. Which means it's impossible to get past this. This is someone, I was going to say, it is someone's personal life, it appears, because there's no crime committed. They said there was no crime committed. They said that that whatever it is really did not involve anybody else in the organization. So looks like it wasn't a workplace Me Too moment, at least not a workplace Me Too moment. So what in the world was it? And so yesterday became just a speculative orgy. Maybe he sent a picture of his privates to somebody. Maybe he's got, you know, blah, 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 blah. Maybe this. And I just felt dirty listening to all this yesterday. But that's what you get when you don't have transparency. That's what you get when they don't fess up and tell us what the heck they did. Now, how in the world is this any of our business? Because in a large, large way, Jim Montgomery is not a public official. He is a private citizen, but in a very public job. He gets to say that there's stuff going on in his life that is absolutely none of our business. The Stars are an organization, however, a proud, fine organization that I've had so many wonderful relationships over the years. I love them, and I love the Stars. Loved winning that Stanley Cup in 99. Ready to do that again anytime now would be good. Maybe this was the year. So I love hockey, love the Stars, always have. But here's what is owed to the ticket-buying public. We need to know whether the Dallas Stars have done something just or unjust, something justifiable or not. And they can be as vague as they like in order to protect Monty, his family. I don't know what the deal is. Nobody does. And therein lies the problem. Because I think they'd like us to go, well, new coach, move on. Oh, by the way, let's fire the coach every day and replace it, because that apparently is very good for team cohesiveness. We beat the New Jersey Devils, who are not that great. But, hey, 2-0 is 2-0. Ben Bishop was great in goal. Very nice win, and the Stars remain in the playoff hunt. Here's there's a big argument that it's nobody's business. Here's the argument that it is. People pay squillions of dollars to support this organization. Have they caved? Have they given in to the cancel culture and the PC mob mentality? Did Jim Montgomery deserve to get fired? If he did, I mean, I'm going to do this anyway. I want to pray for redemption and healing from whatever, because we don't know, from whatever. I wish only good things for this man who's done a lot of things for our community and for this team. So every prayer for him, and in what is a tough time anyway, let's lift that family up in prayer no matter what. But again, he was either wronged or he was not. If he was not, it's like, okay, I get it. You know, let's move on. You know, Coach Bona seems to be a good guy, too. Let's go win a Stanley Cup. However, if one of the big sports organizations, I mean, Cowboys, Stars, Rangers, if you know, Mavs, well, good Lord, the Mavs had some toxic Me Too culture going on, and the whole world knew about that. That got, you know, paraded out in front of everybody. They seem to have fixed that, and all seems really cool in Mavericks land. So these are places that ask us for a boatload of money. These are places who ask us to love them. These are places who ask us to support them. And by the way, we do. So if they have torpedoed a man for no good reason, if they have scuttled him as part of today's cancel culture and the Me Too buzzsaw, by the way, a whole lot of Me Too is valid and proper and right, but it also casts sometimes too broad a net. There are people whose lives have been ruined by accusations alone. Did this happen here? That's why there is a kind of a right to know here. So I tell you what, let's your thoughts are welcome on this. We're going to run some things by Mike Gallagher because he's with us here right after we hop out. In fact, if somebody wants to hop on real quick, we can do that. Then we'll go to Mike and then 8 o'clock hour unfolds. Brian Kilmeade of Fox News is going to join us 9:35. He wrote a book about not just the Alamo, but San Jacinto, a little bit of Texas history vital to American history. So that's kind of cool. And big show unfolds before us. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, Wednesday, December 11th. It's 7:25.
The finest years I ever knew. For all the years I had with you.
The great David Gates and Bread. I mean, they've got at least a dozen records that are wound around my head and my heart from the early to mid 70s.
Just to have you back again.
I want to say 72, 73-ish, they put an album called The Best of Bread, and just everything on there is iconic. And David Gates, still alive, 79 today. And so I think we might roll out some Bread during today's show and some Christmas music. Let me get into Gordon Griffin, come back, our chat with Mike. We're going to enter into our chat with Mike with a Christmas record by someone else who has a birthday today and an opportunity to take a look at some amazing musical history because I like doing that. 7:32, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Gordon Griffin in the newsroom. This would be pretty standard stuff. Christmas time, Christmas bumper music. This is maybe one of the famous sort of secular Christmas songs, if such a thing exists, of all time. Brenda Lee and Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Some caroling.
So Brenda Lee today is 75, and you're thinking, wait a minute, wasn't she around like way before the Beatles? How is she younger than the Beatles? Answer is, as she's recording Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree right there, Mike Gallagher.
Yeah.
13 years old.
She was 13 when she sang that?
13 years old.
I was in the barber's chair yesterday. I was getting my hair cut, and the guy next to me got into this long, passionate conversation with his hair person about how these Christmas songs are having to be reworked because the lyrics of, well, there's two of them out, I guess. The one is
Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Which is a crime scene.
Absolutely. Me Too series.
I've had some fun with that over the years. I used to run the Al Hurt, who's a big, burly, bearded guy, and Anne Margaret when she was just a young thing.
Young woman.
You know, I really can't say. Sure you can.
Yes, you can. You can.
Nobody will hear you scream. I can't do that creepy anymore. I can't do that anymore.
And there's another one. There's a second one that's misogynistic, and I think it's...
What?
It's like the guy was like, now remember, I'm in New York City, so I'm thinking, okay.
I know, but what?
One of the famous Christmas songs is a real misogynistic song, and it's like, deferential. Listen, I can't even understand the Peloton controversy.
I was going to go straight there, because what in the world, because this young lady, who looks pretty good at the front end of her life, pre-Peloton, says, oh, my husband got me this bike, and I've spent however much time, and I've been, riding the bike, and I thank you, honey, thank you. And the imagery coming off of that is that he's, like, fat-shaming her. He's, like, whipping her It's wonderful. And you know what they had on local news? I forget what channel. They had a woman, and God love her, this woman weighs about 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. And she said, my husband got me this thing, and I love him. I've lost maybe 30 or 40. I'm gonna get healthier. I'm going to look better. It's the greatest, most loving gift anybody could have given me. And yet the Peloton people are catching hell. And the actress is, too. And she's had to defend it. And so it's pretty wild.
Peloton has lost $1 billion in value of the company since the backlash over the... See, this is where this mob mentality has impact and power. They have lost... The value of the Peloton company has decreased by approximately $1 billion since this controversy arose. Now, think about that. So some goofballs on Twitter decide they don't like a Peloton ad of a beautiful woman on an exercise bike, and she's grateful that her husband got it for her, and somehow that turned into woman bashing. Because he doesn't say anything like, honey, you don't look... I mean, there's not... It's all inferred. Lost a billion, with a B, Mark. Yeah. Now, first of all, how many billions is Peloton worth to begin with? But, wow, that's why... The mob can be a powerful thing to contend with.
I've Googled sexist Christmas songs, and there's a stupid list. Baby, it's cold outside. Dear Santa, bring me a man this Christmas.
That's what it is. Santa Baby. It's Santa Baby.
Santa Baby. Yeah, come on down the... Right.
That's what the guy said. Well, the guy next to me said it's misogynist.
The wonderful Eartha Kitt.
Yeah, who was a listener of mine. Did you know that in New York?
Think of all the fun that I've missed.
I met her, and she was a listener at WABC in New York. It was the coolest thing. I got to meet her backstage. She was like, honey, I listen every single morning to you. I thought, this is Eartha Kitt. This is pretty cool.
And by the way, that's a fantastic record. Just a wonderful record.
Well, apparently it's not to the guy next to me in Midtown Manhattan. No, it's misogynistic.
Here's what I now have to know. Okay.
Yes.
Pulling.
No, don't. I know what you're going to do. Don't do it.
Really? What do you think I'm about to do?
How much is the haircut?
Not so much how much, because I'm going to, here's the reason I'm asking. Whenever we come up to New York, every once in a while, I mean, because I'm at Fantastic Sam's for $18, because look at me, it's crazy for me to do much more.
Correct.
When we go to New York, I'm either at the Upper East Side at about 72nd and Lexington at a place called Paul Mole. It looks like mole. Uh-huh. It is up, you go upstairs.
Mole.
And it's everybody's Lithuanian or Puerto Rican or whatever, just these wonderful ethnic guys. And I love going in there for the full haircut, the full shave, the whole shebang. I think it might be about $70, and it is worth every dime. And I love it. And I probably do it about every 2 years. I want to know about the Mike haircut experience because I'm Robin Leach.
Well, now you're going to make fun of me because it is so stupidly expensive. And believe me, I got less hair than you do. I got no reason to get a haircut.
It's an experience, though. It's such an experience.
Right.
I mean,
well,
and
there's a history to mine because my wife found this guy 20 years ago.
That's all I need to know.
So that's the only reason I've been going.
All I need to know.
Now, I've put four of his grandkids through college. I've had the side of his salon remodeled. There is the Mike Gallagher wing.
There's a shrine.
Because it's stupid expensive.
So who is this guy?
He's a guy that she read about in a magazine article once. He cuts the hair of all the William Morris Agency executives and HBO executives. Yeah. And he knows, in fact, I shouldn't give away any names, but the guy that ran HBO for years, it was a big client of his. So it's stupid expensive, but I do it for Denise because she said, this was right when I was starting out in New York. And she said, you're going to maybe once in a while they'll take your picture or something. You got to have a good haircut. And I was talking, reminiscing about her last night. And we always do this at the holidays. We think about our loved ones. Damn. And I've had a very rocky road with one of my sons. I think I've shared that with you. And we're kind of reconciling. And so last night we had a dinner. I met his wife first time. And it was a very, I thought it would be awkward A.
How long have they been married?
A couple years.
Oh, yeah, my gosh, this is so wonderful. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, but it's sad that I haven't,
What's past is past. It is right now that matters. And the future matters. Is this going well?
And we're working at it. And he's working at it. And he kind of reached out. And there's a lot of hurt feelings. I mean, listen, it's no secret. We've had a lot of, you know, baggage and stuff in our life with my wife dying. And no kid should lose their mom the day before her 51st birthday. It's awful for them. And I and all of us kind of lost our way. And in one particular case, I had a very bad falling out with one of them. And now, you know, it's kind of neat that we're going to spend Christmas together. And he's going to bring his wife, and all the boys are going to be there. And we're going to, so it was a, and we talked so much about his mom last night. And, you know, it's a funny thing. I'm on a mission now, because he wants, and he was so close to his mom. He was a mama's boy. And that, of course, contributes to this kind of, you know, a rupture in a family, I think. You know, it's just nothing, nobody can do anything about it.
No,
it just happens.
I know.
But anyway, he remembers years and years ago, Bill O'Reilly, of all people, mm-hmm. who was a listener at the time to me at WABC in New York, mm-hmm. heard me talk about the political differences I had with my beloved Denise.
Right.
And he thought it would be kind of cool to bring her on the O'Reilly Factor with me to talk about a mixed political marriage. And she was fearless. I mean, I was a wreck. I could barely get out of bed. It sure did. And she was magnificent.
Oh,
I was so proud of her.
Is there video of that?
That's what Matthew is asking about. My son Matt is asking for, he said, Dad, you know people at Fox?
Surely.
I don't know. It goes back, Mark. It's got to go back 18, 20 years,
surely
they archive stuff, huh?
I would think. Now, Denise passed, I want to say, 2008, right?
June of 2008.
Right.
So I don't know.
But this goes a decade,
so this
almost
had
a decade
to be
prior to
2006,
that.
I mean, 2007, maybe. It had to be around 2006 or so. So it goes way back.
It simply must.
So I'll say a little prayer
because
somehow we can find it.
Because if you'll excuse the heck out of me, not to burst into the family here, but if you find that thing and you don't share it, I'm coming to your house. And it's a big house. I'm Robin
Leach. He wants that for Christmas. He wants to hear his mom's voice again. And we had all of the tapes from our family vacations have been destroyed, apparently. My son Trevor's garage in Texas, mm-hmm. and years in a hot garage, and he looked at the tapes, and apparently they've all kind of gone kaput. They've all disintegrated, and so he was heartbroken. He was trying to find a tape of one of our family vacations. So anyway, I've got some emails out, but it was great, and by the way, the dinner went great. She's a delightful young lady, mm-hmm. and, you know, she knows there's been a lot of some bad blood, and she was a trooper, and I was a nervous wreck, and went home and stared at the ceiling for a couple of hours and saw, what did I just go through? And it was great. It really worked out pretty good.
Very cool. Can I give you that I can't think of time better spent. We're now totally invested in that and praying to that video. Now, here I have a question for you, a little A or B for Mike Gallagher.
Sure.
If impeachment is indeed headed to the Senate,
right,
it's like there's a Trump way and a McConnell way, and they may have to kind of work this out. Would you like a big, long festival of every witness we've ever wanted, either showing up or not showing up? Hey, Democrats, you want a trial? We'll give you a trial. We'll beat you to death with this trial during the entire month of January. That's choice one. Choice two is, and I think this is kind of the McConnell preference, Democrats make their case, White House attorneys reply, gavel goes down, boom, that's it, let's vote, we're done. I think there's an argument for both. Which one do you like best?
I don't often agree with Guy Benson on Fox News, but Guy said something yesterday afternoon that really caught my attention.
Yeah.
He said he knows what Democrats want. He says the Democrats want this. The reason they're rushing this is they realize this is politically poison for them.
Right.
They want to get it over with. They're going to do it. They know the Senate's going to vote to acquit. They want to move on by February, maybe March at the latest, and pray the American people have their traditionally, historically confirmed short memory.
Right.
And this will be a distant memory by November. Trump will be back to being Trump. They'll go back to the attacks, and it'll be like nothing ever happened. I think he may be right. I want it to drag out. I think the impeachment thing, based on that argument, because the more I've been thinking about it, the more I think he's spot on. They want this thing over and done with. We can say we did it. Okay, let's
say they did it, and then
turn the page, and then get back to bashing him, and he's unfit, and look at
this. This is why I ask you questions, because I was opting for the short one that seems like back of the hand away from me. Hey, you kids, get out of my yard. The long one is filled with, it's fraught with some dangers, some hazards. Do we
drag it out?
But if we drag it out, we're going to wrap it around their necks. Make them like it. We're going to remind the country for a month what they've done to us.
You got to pull Warren off the campaign trail. You got to pull Bernie off the campaign trail. They got to be
there. Cory Booker, Amy Klobuchar.
You got to pull them off all these candidates. Drag this baby out. I think for once, young Guy Benson is right. I agree with him sometimes. He's a little dubious of Trump, I think. So I'm not fully on board there with Guy, but nice kid.
It's a great talk show topic, though. I'll ask people. All right, very good.
Well, listen, happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. Merry Christmas. The Mike Merry Gallagher Christmas. Is there for you. Let's just, everybody, please, Fox, have that video of Mike and Denise circa 2000, whatever that was, because his son wants to see it. And so do I. And so do you. We'll see what kind of sharing mood Mike is in. He'll share his views today at 10 on 660 AM The Answer.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me.
I hear conflict.
Been an awful good girl, Santa baby.
How many windows do I have open?
So hurry down the chimney tonight.
Was that Vince Guaraldi competing with Eartha Kitt? Let's get out of the way for Eartha and a wonderful record.
Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue.
How is this misogynistic?
I'll wait up for you.
Or sexist
dear,
or whatever.
Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
The lady has a Christmas list, and it will be honored. All right, 866-660-5759. Now, I'm now doubly fascinated.
Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed.
So short impeachment or long? I was thinking short, just get her done, just to show everybody how stupid this was. It doesn't deserve our time. But the Mike Gallagher, I guess Mike and Guy Benson, and perhaps even President Trump says, oh, no, we're going to make this huge. We are going to drag this. Oh, we're because it's a Republican Senate, Republican rules, unlike being, you know, shackled to the House fiefdom there in the House of Representatives where the Democrats run things. This is our house. And it's going to go a little differently. What do you want to have happen? 866-660-5759. Mark Davis.